I'm Tracy Sable. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, lights, camera, action. Vice President Harris and her running mate sit down for a major interview while former President Trump focuses on battleground states. We're at the White House. Outreach to China. Why a Biden administration official spent the past several days in the communist country. Payback time. Reaction after the Supreme Court strikes down another attempt by President Biden to forgive student loans. And getting in on the act. An Academy Award-winning actor tells us about the new movie on the life of Ronald Reagan. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of the Passion of John the Baptist. Our top story tonight, after being pressed for weeks to do an interview with reporters, Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate, Tim Walz, sit down with CNN for a joint interview. This as the Democratic duo travel through Southeast Georgia on a bus tour. Meanwhile, Donald Trump campaigns in Michigan and Wisconsin, two more battleground states key to winning in November. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Good evening, Tracy. That CNN interview was taped earlier this afternoon. You can watch it tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. Now, the Trump campaign has been slamming Harris for dodging the media. Now, CNN released a preview of tonight's interview. Here's a clip. Take a look.
You mentioned the Green New Deal. I have always believed, and I have worked on it, that the climate crisis is real, that it is an urgent matter, to which we should apply metrics that include holding ourselves to deadlines around time. We did that with the Inflation Reduction Act.
As for the GOP nominee, Donald Trump planned events today in Michigan and Wisconsin, including a town hall moderated by former Democratic Representative Tulsi Gabbard, who endorsed him in Detroit just recently. It'll be Trump's first visit to Wisconsin since the Republican National Convention. Michigan and Wisconsin, along with Pennsylvania, make up a crucial set of swing states known as the Blue Wall that Trump won back in 2016. But that Democrat, Joe Biden, flipped on his way to the White House back in 2020. Also, former President Donald Trump is calling a new Fox News poll atrocious. It shows a close presidential race in the critical Sunbelt states of Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and North Carolina. And regarding that interview tonight on CNN with Harris and Walz, it'll give Americans an opportunity to see her in an unscripted environment. Of course, that comes with risks for any politician running for office, including the presidency. Tracy?
Well, Owen, no doubt whomever wins in November will have plenty of international challenges to deal with, including Ukraine, Gaza, and China. And speaking of China, we know the U.S. and China just held a key meeting. What was the goal there?
Yeah, that's right, Tracy. Today, Jake Sullivan, the national security advisor to President Joe Biden, met with Chinese President Xi Jinping in China. Those leaders want to keep the tensions between both countries from spiraling into a conflict.
Under President Biden's leadership, the United States has and will continue to advance its interests and values, look out for its friends. And as we do, we believe that competition with China does not have to lead to conflict or confrontation. The key is responsible management through diplomacy.
Now, China and the U.S. have grown at odds over a range of issues, trade, China's claims over the South China Sea, Taiwan, and industrial policy on electric vehicle and solar panel manufacturing. And with a new U.S. president arriving in January, just 4 months from now or so, both governments are eager to keep relations stable ahead of the transition of power. And also, Tracy Sullivan said that the U.S. remains, quote, deeply concerned about China's support for Russia's defense industrial base. It's possible, Tracy, that Xi and President Biden could talk on the phone in the coming weeks and possibly even meet in person at a couple of upcoming summits. Tracy?
All right. Thank you, Owen. Owen Jensen reporting for us from the White House tonight. Thank you again. While the U.S. Army issued a rebuke on former President Trump's campaign, at issue is an incident at Arlington National Cemetery that took place on Monday. The incident took place at a ceremony for Gold Star families on the anniversary of the Afghanistan withdrawal and deadly bombing at Abbeygate. In a statement, the Army says the event was political and a cemetery employee was pushed aside, calling it unfortunate. The Army also says that it considers the matter closed. The Trump campaign so far has yet to respond. The former president attended the ceremony as a guest of the families of the 13 service members killed at Abbeygate. While the U.S. Supreme Court declined to revive President Joe Biden's student debt relief plan, the move boosts Republican-led states that have sued to block it, saying that it is unconstitutional. The decision now puts the loan relief program in jeopardy. Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales joins us now with more. Eric.
Well, good evening, Tracy. Yes, the SAVE Act is designed to lower monthly payments for millions of borrowers and speed up loan forgiveness for thousands more. That's now on hold after the justices ruled that the case must go back to a lower court. Now, this isn't the first time that the Biden administration has tried to cancel student debt. Last year, the high court ended up blocking a similar plan from the president.
In the high court's brief, the justices turned down a request from the Biden administration to put the student loan relief plan back in play after a lower court paused it this summer. The Education Department was quick to react, putting out a statement saying in part, quote, "We are disappointed in this decision, particularly because lifting the injunction would have allowed for lower payments and other benefits for borrowers across the country. More than 8 million people are enrolled in the SAVE program, with debts already cleared for more than 400,000 borrowers. Senator Bill Cassidy tells me forgiveness forces others to pick up the tab.
They call it forgiveness, I call it a scheme. The Biden administration isn't forgiving student loans. They're transferring the student loan debt from those who took it on to get an education to make more money to those who either never went to college or paid it back.
Senator Cassidy adds that a new government study shows that only 40% of student loan borrowers were making payments on their loans in 2024. Republican Congresswoman Virginia Fox, who's the Education Committee chair, says, quote, "I don't know how many times the Biden-Harris administration needs to hear this before the message sinks in. Its student loan schemes are illegal." But Democratic Senator John Fetterman tells me helping young people get a start is a good investment.
If you can bail out, you know, banks, I mean, I feel like helping out students to get a better start in their lives, then I think that's a much better investment than a bunch of reckless banks.
Now, Republicans tell me that this is just another way that Democrats are trying to buy votes. And by the way, the case may end up back in the U.S. Supreme Court. After a lower court rules, it would put it back the hot button issue before the justices once again in the closing months of the presidential campaign. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
All right. Thank you, Eric. And now to the Middle East, where the World Health Organization says there will be limited pauses on fighting in Gaza to allow for polio vaccinations for children. This after a baby contracted the first confirmed case of the disease in that region in 25 years. Meanwhile, the Israeli military says that it has killed five more militants in the West Bank, including a local commander. Soldiers stormed several military strongholds throughout the occupied territory in order to prevent attacks. This marks the deadliest Israeli operation in the West Bank since the war with Hamas began. Ukraine is keeping up its incursion into Russia's Kursk region. This comes as President Zelensky is calling on NATO to give his country permission to use Western-supplied weapons to conduct long-range strikes inside of Russia.
We continue to insist that their determination now, lifting the restrictions on long-range strikes for Ukraine now, will help us to end the war as soon as possible in a fair way for Ukraine and the world as a whole.
This after Ukraine says one of the F-16 jets that it received from Western partners crashed. It is the first reported loss of an F-16 since the fighter planes arrived last month. Well, the Ortega regime has eliminated a retirement fund for priests. The insurance fund for Priests Association was one of 1,500 accounts whose legal status has been canceled. It is the latest move to undermine the Catholic Church in the Central American country. Clergy say they paid several hundred dollars for many years into the retirement plan. And now to Hong Kong, where two journalists have been convicted in a landmark sedition case. The former editor-in-chief of Stan News and another former editor had pleaded not guilty to conspiracy to publish seditious materials. It was the first trial involving the media in the former British territory since it returned to Chinese rule in 1997. Stan News was one of the city's last media outlets that openly criticized the government. At least three people are dead as a typhoon makes landfall in southern Japan. Tropical storm Shan Shan brought strong winds and nearly 2 feet of rain. The rainfall was more than the average for the entire month of August. Close to 170,000 households are now without power. However, in a glimmer of good news, the storm is losing strength as it makes its way across the mainland. And we have a lot more still to come here on EWTN News Nightly, including the name game. A closer look at the efforts by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be on the ballot in the state of New York. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s campaign is appealing a ruling that knocked him off the presidential ballot in the state of New York. The independent candidate recently suspended his campaign and endorsed former President Donald Trump. The 70-year-old is withdrawing from states where the race is expected to be close, including the state of Maine. In other states, he is asking his supporters to vote for him. The appeal comes as Kennedy is being kept on the ballot in Michigan and Wisconsin despite his attempts to be removed and the suspension of his campaign. And for analysis, we turn now to Derek Mueller, law professor at the University of Notre Dame. Professor Mueller, great to have you back on again. So how unusual is it for a presidential candidate to ask to appear on some ballots, but not in others?
I've never heard of it. Usually what happens is when you try to get on the ballot, try to get in the ballot in as many jurisdictions as possible. And if you suspend your campaign or withdrew, you try to get your name off the ballot in as many places as possible. So the Kennedy campaign seems to want to have it both ways. On the one hand, not affect swing states. On the other hand, to try to maybe suggest that there's some popular support for his movement in 2028 and beyond. But it's definitely an unusual strategy.
Yeah, it's confusing a lot of folks, too, I assume. As we mentioned, RFK Jr. appears to be set on the ballot in Michigan and Wisconsin, despite those requests to be removed. And of course, he is suspending his campaign. So why is that? I mean, is there any way that he would be able to get off the ballot?
Yeah, so it's a state-by-state mechanism. Each state has its own rules for ballot access. In Michigan, he's actually the nominee of a minor party called the Natural Law Party. And there are rules that say the party has to have its convention before the primary election that happened in August in Michigan. So right now, at this point in time, it's a little late to be removed as a party nominee. In Wisconsin, it says the only way you can be withdrawn is if you have died as a candidate. We don't allow you to voluntarily withdraw. So a lot of states don't have those rules. These two states have different kinds of rules, and that's why we're seeing different fights cropping up in different states, depending on what the set of rules are.
Yeah, and there are suggestions states with Republican leadership could keep President Biden on the ballot in November. What are the chances that that could happen?
That Joe Biden's name would be on the ballot in November?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's no chance that Republicans would try to remove his name. I think they were very clear much earlier in the process, as Alabama and Ohio had some ballot deadlines that suggested, well, maybe the Democratic ticket isn't going to make the ballot. But I think the key here is the Democrats had a convention. They voted for Kamala Harris as their nominee. The parties then submitted paperwork in all 50 states saying Kamala Harris is our nominee. No one submitted paperwork saying Joe Biden is the nominee. So I don't think Joe Biden's name will appear on the ballot in any state. I don't think any Republicans will try to do so, although one never knows what they might do.
Yeah, we never know what's going to happen. That's for sure. Quickly, before we run out of time, I'm going to switch gears here. Earlier this week, there was a new indictment filed against former President Trump. What do you make of the charges, and are they different from the earlier claims?
Right. So this summer, the Supreme Court said that official acts of the president can't be subject to criminal prosecution, but unofficial acts could be. And while it said that certain acts that Trump engaged in back in 2020 were official acts, pressuring his attorney general, for instance, a lot of other things, it was at least up for debate. And the Supreme Court didn't close the door. So this new indictment tries to look at that Supreme Court ruling, says, okay, we can't talk about some of these things, but we've at least left the door open for a lot of other things. So I would say that the new indictment tweaks and modifies some of the charges, but the heart of the charges are largely the same. And I think a lot of the arguments will be the same between Trump and the special counsel Smith in the near future.
All right. Always great to get your insights. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, Portrayal of a President. An Academy Award-winning actor takes us inside the new movie about Ronald Reagan. Preparations are nearly complete for the Holy Father's upcoming visit to Singapore. The city-state is one of the most politically stable nations in the world. Still, the Catholic Church there is facing challenges. EWTN News Vatican correspondent Colin Flynn recently sat down with the rector of a seminary in Singapore for more.
How many seminarians do you have here at the moment?
Currently, we've got 22 seminarians for the Archdiocese of Singapore.
Are those numbers good? Are they healthy for Singapore?
It is good, but it's not replacement level, because we have a number of priests who are retired, who passed on. The 20 will not replace. We can't. Yeah.
Really? So although the numbers are good, they're not at that level you need
to replace
the priests who are leaving?
At least in this current context, yeah.
You mentioned the growing number of people who identify as being non-religious here in Singapore. What do you put that down to, that growth in atheism?
I would reckon, I think it's also affluence, materialism. It is a place where you can get what you want, you know, that kind of thing. And it's materially, people have gotten distracted, I would say.
It's a big challenge for the church then, isn't it?
Extremely, extremely challenging. And it's, you know, we tell our seminarians and become priests, we've got to take note of these things. It's not so much of just working and servicing the people, but it's more about conscientizing the people about what matters most in life, actually. To get at least the young people to grow and to realize that there is more to just gaining the material things of life.
And finally tonight, a new movie opens tomorrow on the life of former President Ronald Reagan.
I was a lifeguard on a river. There's no turning back. And I learned how to read the currents.
It is the first full-length film focusing on the life of the 40th president. The biopic stars Dennis Quaid, Penelope Ann Miller, and John Voight, while Catholic actor David Henry portrays the teenage Reagan. The story takes place during the Cold War with the Soviet Union and follows Reagan's journey from his childhood home in Illinois all the way to the White House. And we turn now to one of the stars of Reagan, Academy Award-winning actor John Voight. John, thank you so much for being with us today. We're really grateful. First off, tell us, why was it important for you to be a part of this movie?
Well, I guess several things, you know. And I was asked to do the movie. I was given a script, and I looked at it, and I had a great regard. I really liked Reagan quite a lot, as most of us, you know, who lived through that time did. We had a great regard for him. And I saw this part, and I didn't know too much about the KGB at that time, but I didn't know if I was going to do it. But it was interesting to me. And then they called me to a meeting with Dennis and the director, who I know, Sean McNamara, who's a great guy. And it was a nice, warm meeting. And they did the whole meeting just to get me, and which was really a flattery, you know. And then Dennis put his hand on my shoulder and he said, I want you to do this, John. That did it for me. I said, well, if a peer like Dennis feels I can help out, I'll do it. Yeah. So that's how I did it.
That's wonderful. Tell us about your character, Viktor Petrovich, and his unique perspective in this movie.
Well, he's a KGB spy working for the KGB, and he's assigned to look for trouble coming in new generations. And he finds this fellow, Ronald Reagan, who seems to be talking against the communist system continuously and is an actor. And then he gets into a little political stuff with the with the union. He becomes part of the union leadership, and he's very talented in some way. They see this coming, or at least this fellow, my fellow, does see this coming, and he warns people about him. They don't too much listen to him, but he gets fascinated by Reagan from his close contact, and he it changes much of his thinking. It's an interesting character. It's and it's from his perspective that we see Ronald Reagan. In other words, he tells the story in some way, because he's marking every moment of his life. And it's a very interesting tool, and I think a very effective one.
Yeah.
And I have to say, just between you and me, Trace, this picture's terrific, and the performances are all wonderful. Dennis is great, and Penelope Ann Miller is great, and it's a love story too, great love story, and it's very moving at the end. It's a wonderful picture to take your family to. And you'll probably go back and see it a couple of times because it's there's something about it that makes you feel positive about today.
Yeah, and we need that for sure, John. Absolutely. As you look back, you know, and think back of the Reagan years, do you see any similarities between then and what our nation is going through right now?
Well, surprisingly enough, this picture was supposed to come out a year and a half ago, but we had trouble with COVID, shooting through COVID, and then we had the actor's strike and several things, trying to get the script right get the picture right before he did the CGIs, and it took quite a long time. And it just pushed back and pushed back, and it finally came to this date, which is, you know, this time right in the middle of the concern for the next election, right? So it's surprising. It's almost like it was destined that we would come out at this time. Because there's so many things in this film that relate to this time. I'll give you an example. The picture starts out almost immediately with the assassination attempt on Reagan. And then it pulls us back to, you know, a couple of weeks ago when there was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. So, and there are many things throughout that bring us back to this time. And therefore, the film has real relevance, and it wouldn't have had the same kind of power, you know, a year and a half ago.
And we have part two of our interview with John Voight tomorrow, where he tells us about his acting career and what it was like to play John Paul II. Reagan opens tomorrow in theaters nationwide. And for more information, visit Reagan.movie. And we thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Tracy Sable. Good night, and God bless.